This morning is from the book of Galatians. We'll be reading from verse 1 through verse 10 in Galatians 1. As I thought back over the years, when Kim and I were raising our kids, we always tried to teach our kids, just don't pay attention to what someone says, especially in relationships. You got to watch what they do. So you got to weigh what they say with what they do, and there has to be a balance there. And this section here in Galatians talks about a different gospel that gets preached and how quickly we turn away from it. And I began to ask myself the question, Lord, do I preach a different gospel by the way I live? So it's just not what we say and what we believe, it's the way we live. Verse 1, Galatians 1. Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers with me, to the churches in Galatia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one preached to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. This ends the reading.
I'd like to invite children to come down. We got them? Anyone? People are in all different directions. Laura's here. How nice. Sorry, Laura. Praise the Lord. Laura just got done with knee surgery, so I'm sorry I'm distracted today. It's my ADD and squirrel, you know. All right, kids, what does the word free mean? Free. What does free mean? That's a hard word, huh? You got to tell me, otherwise I won't be able to give you anything free today. What's free mean? You don't have to. What did he say? I think you might have been right. Did he say pay? Yeah, you're right. Wait. Not yet. Almost. We're getting there. Free, right? If someone says, take one, it's free. It means you don't have to pay anything for it. Or better yet, somebody else has already paid for it, all right? Because it doesn't just show up. Somebody had to go and pay for it to bring it back and put it in front of you and say, free, right? Well, this happens to big people sometimes, okay? And a guy named Paul, who you won't quite know too much about yet, but he was a guy. And he went and talked to a group of people, kind of like you guys, a little bit older, but like you guys. And he said to them, this is good news. Jesus got everything you need for free. It means that Jesus paid for everything so he could give you something for free. Oh, people were all excited. Just like you're going to be in just a minute when I say help yourself, right? Right? They were all excited. And then Paul went on to tell the next group of people. And he left there. And then some really nasty people came in and said this. This isn't free. That's not free at all. You're going to have to work for it. You're going to have to wash dishes. And you're going to have to clean the house. You're going to... All of a sudden, the people go, wow, it's really not free. And so Paul heard about this and these people, and he wrote them a letter. And he said, "Dear guys, listen to me. Didn't I teach you it was all free? Didn't I teach you that?" Right? Therefore, if it's free, it means somebody else has bought it and paid for it. Don't listen to those guys that are telling you that wrong stuff. So that's what I'm going to try and teach the big kids today. All right? But guess what? You get two free today. Help yourself. Go ahead. Two. One for each hand. There you go. Yeah, one for each hand. Grab one for each hand. Yeah, yeah. You get two. Yeah, run. Yeah. And it was free. That's called rejoicing, by the way, in the sugar, apparently, but you get the idea of rejoicing and a recognition of what grace is really all about. So we're in a beautiful little section, and the Apostle Paul is addressing the topic here in Galatians, and it's pretty simple what I just showed you. A group called the Judaizers, you may or may not have heard that term, it means a group of people who wanted to take away the freedom of the gospel. All right, they wanted to attach to the gospel multiple requirements, like you heard me say to the kids, cleaning the house, washing this or doing that. But for the Judaizers, it included circumcision and behaving and following certain traditions of the Jewish people. And they got themselves all twisted around. And these poor Galatians were kind of overwhelmed because they were relatively new Christians. And rather than stand their ground and say, no, it was free, they got caught up in this dilemma of, I guess we better do this other stuff also. And so Paul literally wrote back, just like I showed the kids, wrote back the letter of Galatians to these people and said, no, free is free. Paid for in full is paid for in full. You all know there's no free lunch. You would get what that means if I said it out loud. And you would understand that even if it's free, you know, somebody else had to pay for the materials or the stuff that went into the meal or the, in this case, the M&Ms or whatever else the case might be. And so the reality is that Paul was trying to help them understand and get refocused, because it's so easy for the people of God to sometimes get off track, to just get a little bit off to one side or the other. And we get caught up in it in different ways. You know, we had a debate this morning a little bit, and we were talking about the Packers and standing and kneeling and all that stuff. And we kind of go walking off on that kind of thing. And I started it, so it was my fault. And but you understand, we kind of, with good hearts, with good intent, you know, what should we do? How should we handle it? And we get into other situations where we get sidetracked in another direction and might be about something else that happens to be going on in our world. And we get caught up there. And we sometimes find ourselves doing that. And in the situation that we have spiritually, we can spiritually find ourselves wandering from side to side. You got what they call the ears getting tickled. You know, do they get tickled better over here or over there? Do you like what this guy says or that guy says or this situation, you know? And those ears getting tickled sometimes make us compromise our clarity and our focus and our commitment to the Lord. And so Paul, loving these people like crazy, and he's not mad or anything, he just goes, oh my goodness, I'm astonished. I'm sitting there with my mouth open going, how in the world can you get so caught up in the wrong direction so fast? You know, and over something as pure and simple as grace is free, the blessing is free. It's a gift of God. It's a work of Christ. It has been accomplished for you. And so at the beginning of this letter, that's what's being addressed. And so if you got your Bibles handy, please look at it. I'd like you to go through it with me if you would. All right? Paul, an apostle, and it says in the Greek, absolutely not sent by man. Absolutely not sent by man. No man told me to come and preach to you. No individual man commanded me or gave me, empowered me, or anything else. All right? Neither through man, which means I didn't use this method to manipulate my way to get in or anything else like that when he came to preach to the Galatians. But through Jesus Christ alone. And here he is in his opening words going, I don't want you to connect anything with what I'm telling you with men or mankind. He said, if I am that person, he comes up at the end there in the sequence, if I'm that man pleaser, if I'm that kind of a preacher, get rid of me. I am not a servant, the slave of Jesus Christ. I am a self-serving, arrogant, foolish man. And so Paul is starting off with this going, I have not been sent by man. I don't belong under the rule of man. I have not moved forward through the power of man. I have been called by Jesus Christ. And at the end now, I want you to notice in verse 10, where he finally comes down with that last part at the end, where he identifies and he says so clearly, if I do those things for men, through men, with men, or because of men, then don't call me a servant of Christ. Don't reckon me as a man who follows Christ. And he's calling himself out. He's holding himself accountable right here in front of the Galatians because he's about to give them godly counsel. And he said, if you think I'm doing this so you follow me, if you think for one second I'm setting this up so you do things the way I'm telling you to do them simply because I said so, he said, then you fire me. You get rid of me because I'm not a servant of Christ. And that's going to be kind of the whole presentation. He fills the middle with the stuff in the middle right there. It says this, to the churches in Galatia, tells you who he's identifying with, and that's an area up near Turkey and stuff in that direction that way. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, I got to keep going back here in my note here, the Lord Jesus Christ, and who gave himself for our sins, to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of God the Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And it says this, who for our sins gave himself. All right? The price, obviously, with a pair or a little bag of M&Ms is $2 or whatever it costs. You know that. I know that. And you understand that concept. When it comes to, you know, Harmon, I have this freedom for you. I have this salvation for you. I have this gift of the Holy Spirit for you. I have this miracle-working power that will allow you in the power of God to be born again. And then why you say, well, what did it cost? And Christ said, my life. The price is paid there. And so you begin to understand. He's emphasizing in pure simplicity, in case some people got this messed up, this is the gospel. This was planned in the heart of God. This was the focus that he had. So he said, grace from God, who, and it goes on, Jesus Christ, who gave himself, and it says, to pluck you out. All right? The action here is God is the plucker and removes you from the condition of sinfulness. God searches for you, calls you, grabs you. We kind of do that little analogy sometimes with an adopted child, and we say, you know, sometimes you were born in this family. We had to just take you the way you came. You know, we jokingly say that. But when we go out and adopt somebody, we go, I picked you. I wanted you. I didn't have you by accident. You weren't a mistake. And we kind of emphasize that. And I go, every one of us has been adopted by God. Every one of us has been loved and chosen and sought after by God himself and brought out and plucked out from the condition, in this case, of our sinfulness. I have been adopted, pulled out, selected, like a little kid being lifted up out of that little the cradle or whatever they happen to be in and saying, I want you. I want you to be mine. That kind of flavor goes on in this section and to rescue us, and notice it, from the present evilness of this world. This evil age that we live in. You aren't just called out once. You're plucked out every day. I was listening to Ravi Zacharias, and he was sharing this insight. I thought it was kind of cool. I loved it. He was saying, you know, when you get up in the morning, start with the Lord. He said, just start with the Lord. If it's a prayer, if it's a devotion, he said, start with the Lord, because he said this, and this is what I wrote down. It says, because otherwise, if you start the day without Christ, you'll see him through the world's eyes. But when you start today with Christ, you'll see the world through his eyes. Isn't that neat? But what a great testimony. How easy it is for me to see Christ. Oh, God, are you letting this bad stuff happen? Oh, my goodness, Lord, I did this and that happened over there. And did you hear about this? And the world just seems to roll over us. All right? And then when he said no, instead, when you start with Christ, God says, you want to borrow my eyes? You want to see what I see this morning? And you see differently. You respond differently. You look at your own family differently. Because otherwise, you bring all your junk forward, all your stuff. Rather than dealing with it with the Lord, you bring it up again. And it clouds your eyes over, and you bring all that stuff, and you see the world through all of that junk. Or the world that is present in you causes you to eventually look at God even that same way. But what a great, insightful thing. So it goes on and says, to rescue from the present age according to the will. Again, I'm rescued not because I'm a great person, not because I'm somehow different than you, not because I haven't committed unbelievable wickedness, not because I'm called, I have been brought out of this captivity of sin. I have been lifted out, yanked free, and it says here, by the will of God the Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And in two verses, he summarizes the gospel. In two verses, he pours it out over the Galatians, and he reminds them, it's free. He's not quite using those exact same words yet, but you start to get the flavor of it. Then he goes into this next phrase, which is that more personal reality. I'm astonished, stunned, shocked. It overwhelms me that you so quickly desert the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning around. You're walking toward a different gospel. You have heard the gospel, but instead you're going to get caught in this case, the works righteousness. And you go, well, why would I want to work? And the answer is, because it makes me feel good. You know what I did this week? And you fill something in, right? And you know, I forgave this person, and then I did that for that. And God goes, be still. You got nothing. What do you mean I got nothing? You got nothing. And the gospel always starts with, I've got nothing. And Christ has done everything. Not to be mean, not to mess my life up, but to keep me from being so foolish that I would trust in my ability even to be consistent. And if you want to stand up and say you had a fantastically consistent week, you didn't exercise any disappointment, anger, frustration, you didn't harbor any kind of unforgiveness or unkindness toward anyone at any time, even during the newscasts, you're going to go, no, yeah. And I go, God says, Don't do this to yourself. Why would you put yourself under law? Why would you put yourself in comparison with the expectation of perfection that I set for you? Because you're always going to hate what you do and what you can't do, or you're going to live in that self-deluded hypocrisy of, I am good enough to deserve what God is offering me through Jesus Christ. He says, don't walk there. Don't even, just come on up and enjoy the M&Ms. Really? Yeah. You just want to give them to me? Yes. Take them. They're yours. I want them. I bought them. They're yours. And you understand, and what, you know, oh, mommy, 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 right? That's what he's looking for. How sweet that is, right? You understand the testimony of a child. I'm not sure he understands the testimony. His mom understands the testimony. But you go, he understands. Look what I get. I didn't do anything. I got him. And you understand, that's what Paul's trying to rescue the Galatians from. Because in this situation, he goes on this, he says, you're deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and turning to this different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. There's no good news in work. There's no good news in get under the law again. There's no joy when someone says, you know, compared to that, you know, you're really pretty good, but compared to this, you really are terrible yet. There's no joy in that. Yet we turn into a congregation of compared to you, compared to me, and all that other stuff, rather than a congregation and a fellowship of believers who live under the grace of God, covered by the mercy of God, living in the love of God, to flow through me so that I can love others through him. It goes on and says, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion. And the answer is we may not have Judaizers around the corner. We got our own sinful nature working on us. We also have a world of comparison out there. And even some preachers, if they preach the wrong sermon at the wrong time, can find themselves creating a situation for you where you walk away so guilty you figure I better try harder and all of those kind of things. But it says, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we've preached to you, let him be eternally condemned. That's the anathema. Then let him go to hell. That's not mincing words. How much does God treasure your pure understanding of the gospel? He treasures it so much that if me, someone else, an angel, tries to preach to you a different gospel, he said, then let them be condemned to hell. He's letting us know, right? James says, let not many of you should be teachers because you have double judgment. I hate to break it to you. Every wife is teaching her husband. Every husband's teaching his wife. Every mother's teaching her children. Every child's teaching the rest of the kids in the family. And it goes on and on and on, doesn't it? You understand? God holds all of us accountable for the examples we set. As Jeff pointed out in his opening remarks as he was doing the text and reading that, he's trying to gather us to go, wow, what kind of example do I set? What kind of testimony do people see and hear from my life? Appropriate for all of us. All right. As we have already said, so now I say to you again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than the one you have accepted, let him be eternally condemned. It's repeated. You know, Scripture, whenever it repeats it, it's doubled. It's an intensifying. It's that bold print or capital letters that we sometimes send in a text. I am real, you know, and you supposedly communicate that way. But am I now trying to win the approval of men? You hear him? He goes, if you think I'm saying this to be nice to you, forget it. I don't want you to approve of me. I'm just simply telling you what God himself told me, which is this is free. I didn't pay for it. I have nothing to offer anyone in the congregation at any time. All I have to offer is what Christ has spoken into my heart through his word and to your heart through his word. This is a free gift. It's called salvation. It's called the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's called answers to the prayers and the questions you have in your life. It's called ministry into to the wounded and hurt deep places of your life. It's called solutions in the middle of your jobs. It's called confidence when you're not sure how life's going to turn out. It's called peace when there doesn't seem to be any peace around you. And into that situation, you begin to understand. Paul's just calling, am I trying to win the approval of men? It said, or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were trying to please men, I would no longer be a servant or a slave of Christ. And so here in the miracle of that moment, you start to understand. Paul is calling these people and saying, these men are not from the Lord. Their words are not from God. The message and purity of the gospel is that you, unable to do anything for yourself, have been plucked out of your condition. I have pulled you. I have lifted you. I've set you upon the rock. I have given you the Holy Spirit. I am empowering you. You aren't an accident in the kingdom of God. And you go, but why do I have such difficulties? Why is there so much pain? Why is so much suffering and other things? And God whispers to you and says, it is not because of anything you've done, my child. It is that I might be glorified even in the middle of your life. We jokingly mention sometimes when you get old, you walk a little slower and your back's a little more crinky. And John and I were helping repair the roof and neither one of us went up on the roof. We talked Brian into going up there. And I go, well, you get to a certain age and, you know, I used to run around and scamper up a steep roof like nothing. And now I go, it looks pretty, you understand? And I go, as we do that, God whispers to me all the time, try to understand. There's no different gospel. It's always the same. Before time began, you were such a treasure for God that he sent his only son, that for you he paid the price in full so that you can experience the fullness of his presence. Grab a handful of the free gift and run back to your seat shouting, Mommy. Right? Rejoice. Just rejoice. You mean that's what? Yeah. It's what I wanted for you to have. You mean now I get to enjoy it? Yes. Maybe you can share some. Oh, I can do that. You understand? You can have so many lessons from just one child, one children's sermon, one example. God's called you to be rejoicing in what he has given you. Join me, please. Heavenly Father, we are easily caught up in the pressures and the inconsistencies of our world. For that, we're sorry, Lord. I pray that you would just minister to us right this minute, that you would help us to understand it pleases you to see us run away with handfuls of grace, going, look what happened to me, and to walk in such anticipation and excitement that our mouths are set free to rejoice and praise you. There are things around us, Lord, that are trying to steal that. There are things around us, Lord, that are trying to make grace something we got to continue to earn or work for. There are things around us, Lord, that are trying to shut down that squeal of delight when we understand the freedom that is ours through the grace that's been won at the cross. Lord, break free our hearts and our mouths until all that we have, Lord, gives honor, glory, and praise to you. I pray that in your name, Lord, and God's people say, amen.